Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let me assure you that the reason we are doing this is because our fans are telling us in overwhelming numbers that they want us to complete the season, if at all possible. And our players and our teams are clear that they want to play and bring the season to its rightful conclusion. And the members of the NHL Board of Governors, who once again put aside personal preferences to approve a plan that we believe is fair to all of the teams and our best option under the circumstances. It will enable the best playoffs in all the sports to honor our history and produce a champion worthy of claiming the most treasured trophy in all of sports.
Hooray!
Mystery guest at 7:30?
Yes.
Well, you gave out a clue, huh?
Yeah, I figured we're 20 minutes away. It's okay to do that. I don't think it tipped it, but it narrows it.
Bill's single season record.
Correct. I just checked it to make sure I had that right. He still holds Bill's single season record.
Punts in a game, right?
Brian Moorman coming up at 7. Although, no offense to Brian.
He'd be a nice guest.
He would be a good guest. We love Brian Moorman.
Down.
We've had Brian Moorman before.
Chase down. Hang on. I got to write this down or I'll forget it. Hold on a second. Brian Moorman. Okay. Got it. Next. Okay. What do you say we get Gary Bettman on the show?
Has he been on the show before?
Not while I've been here at the very least.
No, I don't think since. No, I don't believe we've had him on.
Has the afternoon show even had him on?
He's definitely been on the station before.
I think so.
Maybe the afternoon show could have had him on from the arena one time, right? If there was a home game, he was in town to be there for some reason.
Maybe during the NHL draft, like the pre-show or whatever NHL draft. Yeah. Maybe,
could
if
be.
I can remember correctly.
Could be, yeah. So I'll work on that one, boys.
All right.
Yeah, no.
Hey, by the way, I just tweeted this out, the rundown, the headlines of the NHL. They announced yesterday that it's holding a lottery without all the teams,
yeah,
a tournament without set dates or sites, and a round robin of the top teams to determine seeding despite not yet making a decision on a straight bracket or reseeding as they go.
Yeah, I like that part. I think that one goes to the top of my list now. There's a very good competition going on the most preposterous part of everything announced by the league yesterday. And going at the end of yesterday's show, we learned that apparently the league was trying to make sure teams reached 70 games to honor for TV contracts.
I forgot to put that in there. While some teams don't reach 70 games.
So we're going to have – we want teams to get to 70 because of regional TV contract requirements. So we're going to move the playoffs, which aren't playoffs, to 24. But you other seven, you're screwed. So we don't care about you. And then not only are you screwed out of the regional TV stuff, if indeed you had to get to 70 games, we're going to put you in the draft. And guess what? You might lose out on a top spot to a team that actually is in the playoffs. But I think on top of all of that, I'm going to go with Boston, Tampa, Washington, and Philly, and the top four teams in the West, as it stands right now, will play a round robin for seeding, even though they might bracket in the following round. I think that goes right to the that's a good top three right there. Some of the crazy stuff they're doing.
Will there be a push to bracket in their old format? Right, like
meaning
are the, you know how like Toronto and Tampa or Boston?
Oh, the divisional rivalries.
Yeah, will they still try to get those going?
Ooh, I'm not sure.
They don't know
yet,
probably.
Yeah, how would you even manage that? Yeah. Like, I'm trying to see, what are the I didn't even look at the matchups. Like, who would actually, now that there are actually matchups set, who's playing who? Pittsburgh, Montreal, Carolina Rangers, Islanders, Florida, Toronto, Columbus. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how they would. I don't know how they could even manage to make it so you'd have divisional rivalries at any point. And I just think, again, if you're Boston, you are the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Congratulations, over 85% of the regular season, you're the number one seed. They should play the lowest remaining team in the next round of the playoffs. The idea of bracketing, and they might play. Well, there's your divisional rivalry. If Toronto beats Columbus, Boston would play Toronto in theory in the round of 16.
Okay.
If you stuck with brackets and didn't go to seeds.
Mike Shope was asking an interesting question yesterday for a lot of the show. So all these announcements, this is all great. How are the players getting paid, and what are they getting paid?
They don't get paid in the playoffs, right?
They're going to show up for free?
There's shares in each playoff round, right? But they don't get paid salaries.
Well, shares would mean you get money.
Yeah, right?
So they
get shares.
So, but if the NHL is doing this to make sure they make whole on those contracts,
mm-hmm.
you know, the players would be worthy or would be, I would think, they have contracts. So, hypothetically, Austin Matthews makes, what, $11 million? He played 70 games. Yeah. Isn't he owed 12 games worth of checks? Do they pay him for that? Do they only do the shares? If it's only the shares for the playoffs, is every hockey player just convinced enough that this is A, worth it, that it's worth that, you know, as Bettman said, it's worthy of the trophy,
yeah.
that this whole thing is on the level, and I'll do it for the love of the game. You know, maybe some guys want to do it for the love of the game. Maybe others have what LeBron felt, which was, I don't do this if there are no fans in the stands.
Yeah.
You know, some might think that way. I wonder about that, because baseball right now is, I mean.
Oh, it's a mess. Yeah.
Baseball is in a secret labor war right now.
Yes, they are, yeah, and it's not a pretty thing. Yeah.
No, they're asking that the higher paid players give up money for the lower paid players.
Yeah, and I think they've got, and it sounds like that basically the owners went back on their word and are trying to get a second pay cut. You know, that the players agreed to prorated salaries and what would amount to a 50% pay cut back in March. And now the owners have come back and want to put another pay cut on top of that pay cut. And it's not surprisingly not going over well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the NHL will do, because I know the last paycheck the players were due was what, May 15th? And there was a question about whether guys were going to get the paychecks or put them towards escrow, because what's going to happen down the road. So I'm just guessing that it would be the old format, which means there would be any money coming in would just be shares by playoff round, or excuse me, qualifying round and then playoff round after.
So everybody makes the same.
I would assume, right? I'm not sure that you would get a regular paycheck at this point if you're one of the players still playing, because the last one had already passed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I wonder if there will be guys that will guys not want to show up, Jeremy, because they just don't feel it's safe.
Right.
You know, the testing and all that stuff.
Throughout all this, one of the main things I feel, and I don't want this to sound like my bias towards the NHL as having, you know, generally doing things poorly. I don't think they will successfully pull this off. Hmm. If I'm making a prediction, you know, if it's like a bet it or forget it, will they pull this off?
Ooh, I could add
I do not think they will.
Hang on, I'll add it.
I do not think
that.
They will pull it off.
Because
I think they've
like
really
positive
made it,
cases. There's just too many people in the.
They've just made it more difficult on themselves by including 24 teams.
Yeah.
I got a tweet here from Glenn that says, give us the final four and call the season. And I you know, I'm good with that. But I think what would happen is if you are a team that does win a Stanley Cup and they get it in, and it's because there are only four teams, and how many games are there total, right? There's two best of sevens in the semis and in the best of seven. So at max, there are 21 games played. This format, they're going to be 21 games played in the play-in round.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. And then some. And if you just did it that way, I think the team that won that Stanley Cup would not be recognized on the level. And I'd be the first one to agree with that, right?
Right. If it's just four teams, yeah, there's an asterisk.
Yeah.
There's no question.
I mean, that's
about
like
it.
Winning the Cup when you're the Leafs. You know, there's only six teams in the league. I had to take that shot.
Nice little
but in all seriousness, like, you know, you have a team of so – you have a league of so many teams, and – I think this is one spot where the league does get itself in a bit of a tough spot. You know, I can sympathize with that. They pride themselves and they sell the Stanley Cup as the hardest trophy to win in sports because of how grueling the Stanley Cup playoffs are and how, you know, series can turn on a razor's edge and it's a hot goalie and it's staying healthy, right? It's a war of attrition. Like the NHL, it has the playoffs. The one thing that I think you might get a fringe hockey fan to admit if they were asked, what does the NHL do better than any other sport? They might say the playoffs, right?
It's hard to win that trophy.
It's hard, right? You don't cruise through. In the NBA, the first round is a walk. And in the NHL, I just don't think that's the case. Maybe even in the second round, the NBA might be a walk. But in the NBA, you've got what? How many teams that can actually win the championship? Four or five?
Out of the 16, maybe half. Yeah. Maybe half.
I mean,
that's probably a stretch.
Yeah. In the NHL, I mean, we've seen it where you can be the 8 seed that makes it to the final. And that does not really happen in the NBA that much. If I'm trying to think of the last team to do it. The Rockets were like a 7 seed and one of those times Jordan wasn't there, right? Maybe.
Oh, I'd have to. Yeah, I got to double check.
Anyway, that's not important. It's just they don't want to give it away in a 4-team tournament because they pride themselves on everything that goes with it. And they could have just said, let's do 16. But, you know, they've got the contracts and all that. They've got to figure out the regional sports networks. So I guess I want to put out here, I do recognize as I, you know, take my shots at the NHL for their decisions that these are not necessarily easy decisions to make.
Well,
I think there are better ways to have made them, but adding teams to fulfill these contracts because they're trying to get every dollar they can, I'm just skeptical, and I think it'll end up costing them in the end.
I think there are two points to me in terms of the 24. One is medical, one is hockey, and I'll do the hockey one first. Through the discussion of the last couple months about what to do about the return to play format, 4 teams, 16, 20, 24, do they even come back? What about playing the rest of the regular season? And they talked a lot about wanting to award the trophy and wanting to maintain the integrity of their season and the playoffs and award the Stanley Cup. Well, what you've done, honestly, what you've done with 24 teams, the Montreal Canadiens winning their points percentage is 500. They got 71 points in 71 games. So
that's in an era when you can get, you know,
extra points, right?
Right, so, bonus points in overtime.
So you're all hell-bent on the integrity of the game. Well, what happened to the integrity of the regular season and playing through that to try and make the playoffs? That went out the window because of regional TV contracts. So integrity, don't throw the word integrity around because you somewhat bastardized your regular season by taking a team that had no right to be there, 0.1%, I believe you told me, right, was their playoff chance, 0.1.
Yes.
And they're in the postseason. And let's stop with the semantics of qualifying round, it's playoffs. Two, medical. So Gary Bettman came out yesterday and said there is a limit. They're putting a limit on 50 personnel in the hub city for each team. So at the very least, from 16 to 24, there's an additional 400 people that are now showing up, traveling, showing up, and maybe at risk by the additional teams, let alone the bus driver for that team, let alone the food service people in the hotel that are going to be serving that team, let alone anybody else that's involved in contact with the 8 additional teams and the 400 additional people. So from a medical standpoint, you know, you're trying to keep it simple, put it in a bubble, put it in a hub city, isolate your teams in the hotels, you know, all the different protocols they're doing. And they've talked about multiple tests per week, which is going to cost the league millions of dollars. Why would you add 400 more people to the bubble? Why not keep it a smaller number?
Because I guess you're going for every single dollar. Because you might need it as a league,
and
right? You've got teams that need it.
Sure, they don't have the luxury of the massive TV contracts that some of the other leagues have. I get that. And it's a gate-driven league, and they don't have fans. Who knows when they're going to have fans? But again, you know, what's the risk-reward factor? I don't know, because I don't know the economics. I don't know what kind of money we're talking about. 8 more teams means you cut how much out of your losses? I don't know, but it must be something that's important for them.
One other thing that to mention here, and we can get to this more a little later in the show after our mystery guest, will these games have crowd noise added to them?
Did you watch the soccer yesterday?
I did not.
Bundesliga, I heard they, they were pumping in crowd noise.
If I had known it, I would have made a point to check it
out. Yeah, I didn't know it either. I just saw something this morning that they put some crowd noise in to try and match up with the flow of the game.
I've told you since this was even mentioned, I think this is absolutely a good idea and necessary.
I think we're headed in that direction.
100% it is a good idea.
Yeah.
Get somebody that's a sound engineer, make background noise. Like if you think too, and I'm not even kidding here, if we play one of the old Greg Buck bits, He puts low crowd noise
right,
in the background.
That's right. Cheering and stuff, yeah.
And you just need the white noise almost, like the background noise. And if you wanted to do a sound engineer who would just raise the level on a chance or, you know, play a goal horn when a goal gets scored.
Right.
You go watch a high school hockey game on Super Sunday. Like, they'll play the goal horn. I think they play the goal horn, right?
I don't know. I've never been to a game on Super Sunday.
But you can be at a game with nobody in the stands, and they'll still play the goal horn. I mean,
sure.
They'll play the goal horn for a Timbits game sometimes.
I mean, if they're looking for any sort of sound engineer or producer, I mean, I'm available.
There you go. Brayton's volunteering.
Hire me, NHL.
Produce for the NHL.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I've been a fan of this idea from the start, and I'm gonna stay there firmly. I think it's, you know, we say we don't like things that are fake. There are a lot of things in life that are fake that we just accept, and in the short term of dealing with all this, if these games are going to be on television, I absolutely think the cardboard cutouts of fans are a good idea. I think the fake crowd noise is a good idea, mainly because is anybody turning it off because of that?
No. And you know what? It might not be a bad idea to drown out what the players are saying on the ice. You wouldn't necessarily want that to come over your microphones.
And maybe some are turning it off because of that. I just think the number is small. Instead of having everybody notice, like, wow, it really sounds weird. I can hear the thud of whatever, the ball against the guy's foot, like, more than I normally would.
Or, you know,
hockey's a sport that has a sound to it, has a good sound to it. But if it sounds, you know, cavernous and like it's being played in a garage, if they can just kind of kill that, then I think it's a good idea. So, you know, I did not see that German league game that you're talking about with that. That was, what was that?
Yesterday.
Bayern Munich and Dortmund?
Bayern Munich. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I want to go back and see it now because I do want to hear it. I wish I'd known that going in.
I missed that. I see something on Twitter about Premier League shareholders have voted unanimously to resume contact training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the latest from the Premier League. So they're taking another step towards returning. Our mystery guest is coming up in a moment. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550.
Do you mind if I give a clue?
Sure.
For this?
Ahead. Yeah.
We've mentioned him before being, you know, should be on the Bills Wall of Fame.
He's coming up in just a moment. WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Flutie going deep, and it is caught inside the 5-yard line, and for the touchdown, Eric Moulds.
Mr. Moulds will be joining us in just a moment. Here are your headlines. Sabres GM Jason Botchel will be back for a fourth season in the job. That, according to Kim Pegula. Botchel will hold a 10 o'clock Zoom call with the media this morning. Brayton will be covering that for us, but we'll also have it live during the Instigator show on WGR. The NHL announced yesterday, no more regular season. It is concluded. They're going to their return to play format, which includes 24 teams, two hub cities, and eight teams will be eliminated in a play-in round this year. The draft lottery format is announced, could have two phases and involve 15 teams. The Sabres are currently seventh. They could drop as low as 10th. Yahoo Sports reporting, or Yahoo Sports, that the NFL's head coaches might return to facilities next week, and perhaps there could be mini camps in mid to late June. ESPN says the NBA will most likely resume in late July in Orlando. Major League Baseball players not happy with the owner's proposal for significant pay cuts. NASCAR tonight, 8 o'clock in Charlotte. The Cup Series continues. And Premier League shareholders have voted to resume contact training, so another step forward for the return of the Premier League. Headlines brought to you by Energy Mark, your trusted local energy supplier. Our mystery guest is indeed the man who still holds the Bills' single-season record for the most receiving yards, 1,368, set back in 1998. Eric Moles joining us on the Wester Hotline. Eric, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today. How you doing?
Doing good. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate you giving us some time this morning. There's a lot of stuff I want to get to. I'm looking forward to it. But in the big picture, Eric, in a quiet moment, or if someone ever asks you to reflect on your Bills career, when you think about all the years you spent here and everything you experienced, what are some of the memories that come to mind about your time in Buffalo?
Just being around my teammates, man. You know, getting the opportunity to play with guys like Andre Reed and Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas. Getting an opportunity to play with those guys, you know, and one of my favorite teammates, I always tell people, was Steve Tasker. So I got to play with Steve a couple of years before he retired. And it was just one of those things that you grew up watching these guys, and now I'm in here fighting for them and trying to get wins with them.
I think it's interesting, the dynamic, you mentioned teammates. When you come in, so you get here in time for Kelly's last year. Let me start with that, because it's still Jim Kelly. He's a Hall of Famer, but it was the end of his career. What in that 1 year, what was it like playing with him? And then I've got a kind of a follow-up on Thurman, Bruce, and Andre and those guys.
Yeah, it was great, man. I mean, you learned a lot from Jim, because even though it was his last year and you could see that his play had gone down just a tad, he would have flashes of brilliance. And people don't realize, even in his last year, we made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He took us to the playoffs, and he threw the ball well, particularly in the beginning of the year. So you can see him kind of get a little tired and tail off, and a lot of the hits that he took a toll on him, but he was still Jim Kelly. Hmm.
So, and now, Andre, in terms of the other veterans, you brought up Tasker. I'd ask you about Andre, which you, of course, now you're in the same position group. You're in the room, so you're learning from him. What kind of an effect did he have for you, Eric? And even watching great players like Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, not at your position, but how they went about their job day to day, how much did that help you?
It helped me a lot. I mean, you got an opportunity to not just to see them at practice, but see them how they conduct themselves off the field and in the weight room. You know, I would follow Bruce around all the time, and Bruce was one of those guys that he stayed on the Stairmaster. He stayed lifting weights, and it showed me that it took a lot more than just being able to catch footballs and practice hard. You got to do the little things that people don't see. And I got to see the way he and Thurman and Andre and those guys work. A lot of things that the fans will get to see. So I got to spend a lot of time with those guys. So it helped me to understand that, you know what, you got to lift, you got to run, you got to do extra work. You got to be able to do the little things to be a good player.
We had Reuben Brown on the show recently, Eric, and he came in a little bit, I think, a year before you did. But I'll ask you the same thing we asked him. When you come into a team like that, you know, with the Super Bowls and the playoff bursts and the great players and all of that, did they welcome you with open arms, or did you have to get to a point or do some things to earn their respect and really feel comfortable in that setting of veterans?
Well, I would say it'd be a little bit of 50-50. I mean, you got to earn your teammates' respect. You got to come in and show them that, you know, this kid can help us and do some things to help this football team. But, you know, with the veteran leadership, and it was kind of at the end of that era where you had so many veterans that come every year. I think at the time we had a lot of guys, maybe like 10, 11, or 12 that were from the Super Bowl teams. And you just try to come in and fit in, but you try to work hard and show them that you want to be a part of what they built there.
We're with Eric Moles on our Wester Hotline. So you come in, okay, in your first 2 years, you have a little less than 600 yards receiving. And maybe people are beginning to whisper, hey, what's up? What's up with the first-round pick? When's he? third year, you break out. You have, as I said, the what is still a Bills record for most receiving yards in the season. What happened in year three? What how'd the light go on, and what happened that at that point?
Well, you know what it was is I came in. We had Quinn Early, we had Steve Tasker, and a lot of guys in front of me. So it's kind of different than it, back then than it was nowadays. Nowadays, you draft a guy in the first round, he's immediately in there no matter what. Mm-hmm. I had to come in with we had just signed Quinn Early. It was kind of up in the air if Andre Reed was going to come back that year. So he eventually decided to come back, and then I was really at the time the fifth receiver because we still had Russell Copeland. So I was kind of trying to battle my way in to get some playing time. And so my first couple of years were really a learning experience for me. And then, you know what, I learned from Quinn and Andre and Steve Tasker spent a lot of time with me. And so I just took that and I said, you know what, I'm going to put what I learned from those guys and put it to my game. And then eventually Wade Phillips came in as the head coach, and he would go against me on scout team all the time, and I would kill his defensive backs for the game. And he said, no way this guy shouldn't be able to play. And he made the conscious decision to say, you know what, we're going to start you and see what happens. And I just took it from there.
So you go on and have the big season. The team makes the playoffs. They go down to Miami for the wild card game. And in your very first playoff game, you have 240 yards receiving. What do you remember about that day?
Should have been 300 yards. I remember a couple of passes I caught. I caught one in the end zone that I stepped my footstep slightly out of bounds. I thought I was in, but the referee said I was out. So, you know, looking back on it, and I talk about it with my teammates, and Thurman tells me all the time, it should have been 300 yards if you got that foot in. But it's one of those things that you remember back then, there was a controversy that their defensive back said they're going to flush Fruity Flakes down his throat. So it kind of pissed me off a little bit and said, you know what, hey, you're not going to talk about my teammate that way. And Fruity came to me when that was said, and said, he said, I'm coming to you no matter what coverage it is. And I said, I told him I'd be ready, and it just happened that way.
You have a big year that year with Flutie, and you also have some really good success when Drew Bledsoe eventually shows up. And you talked about Kelly a little bit earlier. You played with so many different quarterbacks. Was there one guy, though, that you felt there was a chemistry, or you gelled more than with any of the other quarterbacks?
You know, it's kind of a toss between Drew and Doug Flutie. Me and Doug Flutie had a thing that I knew exactly what he was thinking at all times because I spent so much time with him that offseason playing basketball. And we would talk football, but we would play basketball. So in every situation, I knew what he was thinking. You know, and people don't realize that. I had something similar with Rob Johnson in that way. It was just that Rob would get hurt so much that we never could get that chemistry like we wanted to most of the time. And I always tell people now that Fuda was a heck of a quarterback. I could have did a lot of things with him. But if you look at Rob Johnson probably was the quarterback that I saw personally and played with that had the skill set of Aaron Rodgers. He just would get hurt so much. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I tell people all the time, people kind of look at me like Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, Rob Johnson had Aaron Rodgers' arm, his accuracy. He would just hold on to the football too long.
I was trying to think. I'm sorry. I was doing the math in my head, Eric, and I want to say you had, I don't know, 7 or 8 different quarterbacks here over 10 years with the Bills. What kind of a challenge was that? I mean, I'm assuming you've talked to other receivers in the league who had the same quarterback for their entire career and didn't have to worry about new quarterbacks, new coordinators, any of that stuff. How challenging was it to keep going, you know, having to learn to play with new quarterbacks all the time?
It's extremely tough. I had this conversation all the time with, he was my really good friend when I was playing in the pros at the time, and we got drafted, Marvin Harrison. I was so envious of Marvin because he was with Peyton for his whole career. And he would always tell me, man, I could imagine if you had a quarterback, just one quarterback my whole career. And I would tell him all the time, just give me Fluda for my whole career. Just give me Drew Bledsoe for my whole career, and let's see what happens. And he would tell me, just like when I was with Fluda, I knew what he was thinking at all times. So when you're playing for a consistent year to year, it makes it easy as a receiver to know what your quarterback's thinking. When you got like 7, 8 different guys, they think different. They play different. They throw the ball different. So I was always making adjustments to the quarterback. Instead of the quarterback being able to throw me open, I had to get open so to make his throws easier. So it was always difficult for me to try to make plays because I had to adjust to the type of quarterback that was in there.
Do you wonder also maybe how things would have gone differently for you if you come along 10 years earlier or 10 years later. The league has moved to much more of a passing league, and completion percentage is up, and you know, interceptions are down. You know, teams pass the ball just about more than ever. Not that you didn't get your share of targets, but I wonder if you've ever thought about that.
I do. I think about it. You know, it, being able to go to Pro Bowls, you talk to guys like Peyton. You know, I get a chance to talk to Steve Young and a lot of guys that I've played in Pro Bowls with, and get their perspective and the way they throw the ball and position it. And in this era, man, I'm telling you, they're throwing the football around. And to play in this era would be great because my size would fit this era. Mm-hmm. And the way the quarterbacks play, it fits my style a lot.
I did want to get your thoughts on the current Bills and, of course, the big acquisition of Stephon Diggs. But I was curious, you know, you've put up some great numbers in your career here. You're one of the top receivers in the history of the franchise. Do you wonder, do you think at all about Wall of Fame? Have you stopped thinking about, I mean, what are your thoughts about that potential honor at some point?
I mean, if it happened, it would be a great honor. I mean, to get a chance to, I was always felt like this, to get an opportunity to play in Buffalo, a great franchise team, and play in front of our fans. I mean, I don't think people realize the fans that the Buffalo Bills have. Bills Mafia, crazy. You know, they're going to show up whether we're 10-6 or we're 1-15. They're going to be there. So you got a fan base like that that really cares about their football team, really cares about football. So it makes it easier. If the Wall of Fame happens, that'll be great, and I appreciate it, and I'll cherish it. But at the end of the day, just for me to get a chance to play in the National Football League and play in Buffalo most of my career was a blessing for me.
Eric Mould's with us on our Western Hotline. The Bills made some big moves this offseason, brought in Stephon Diggs. What are your thoughts on the addition of Diggs to the Bills, Eric, and the top three receivers they put together with Diggs and John Brown and Cole Beasley?
Man, I tell you what, I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about it, but I have an understanding of the situation. You know, Josh Allen has a lot of new toys to play with, and the thing for him is he's going to have to manage that, those new toys. You know, Diggs is going to want the football. Brown, Beasley, those guys are going to want the football. So he's going to have to be able to pick what guy's not getting double teamed, what guy's the hot guy. I think it's as much as it is Josh Allen that's going to have to manage that, it's going to have to be the offensive coordinator that's going to have to be the guy to get everybody involved. There's going to be some games that Diggs might not get the ball. There's going to be some games that Brown might not get the ball, or Beasley. Those guys are going to have to understand that, and if you're winning football games, it shouldn't really matter. But at the end of the day, it's going to have to be a managed thing for Josh Allen. It's a lot of new toys to play with, man, and the best way to do it is the way we did it when we had Peerless Price, mm-hmm. myself, and Travis here in the backfield. We had two receivers with almost 1,300 yards, and we had a running back at the time, Travis, with 1,400. Drew Bledsoe was able to manage everybody and didn't have an opportunity. He would come to me sometimes and say, hey, it just straight out double teaming you, triple teaming you. You're not going to probably get the ball for a while. And I would just have to be patient. He said, but I'll get it to you. And that's what Josh is going to have to do. He's going to have to talk to Diggs. He's going to have to talk to Beasley and say, hey, they're double teaming you. You're not going to get the ball, but I'm going to come to you when the time is right. So the way he manages things and the way the offensive coordinator manages that team, I think they'll be explosive. So it's going to have to be some sacrifice from a few of those guys, but I'm excited about the team.
How do you like Diggs?
I love it. I mean, he's a hard worker. I know a few people that he knows in Florida, and they say this guy just wants to work. He just wants to be great. And I was really shocked that Minnesota Vikings traded him. I couldn't believe it. But at the end of the day, it's a business. But we got lucky and got a guy that's going to make plays for us. And I think he'll do great. You know, I was excited when we got Brown. I was excited when we got Beasley. So adding him to that puzzle, man, Josh Allen, just get the ball to those guys and make plays, and let's get some wins.
What are you doing these days? What profession are you in these days? I read you were coaching. Is that still going on?
Well, I do coach some high school, but I own my own athletic training facility. So I do train a few of the pro guys, and I'm also training. I probably train about 60 to 70 college kids. So I'm really into it right now because of the pandemic. I got a lot of guys, but I kind of separate them a little bit, maybe train two or three guys at a time. But I'm here in Charlotte. You might not. You get a lot of the Bills fans might like this. But I do train Stephon Gilmore, so he's here now, and and we'll be playing him twice. But he's a great guy. He was, when he was a Buffalo Bill, I got to know him a lot. And then when he went to New England, which I hate, but I tell him that all the time. But it's just one of those things that I want to stay around the game, but I don't want to be too close. I would like to coach pro at one point, but right now I'm loving what I'm doing.
Just give Gilmore really bad advice. That's all.
I can try, but he's been doing pretty good.
He's too smart, yeah. Hey, Eric, it was great catching up with you. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. We're glad to hear you're doing well. Stay safe, and appreciate you giving us some time today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
You take care. Eric Moulds, former Bills receiver, joining us on the Western Hotline, our mystery guest today.
I want to give you the stat of the day.
1,368 yards. Maybe Diggs will break that.
Maybe. I'll give you a stat that he will not break.
What's that?
Are you looking at Eric Moulds' career?
I was yesterday. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I can grab it. Go ahead.
Brayton, I'll have you guess this. Howard might have seen this number. This jumps out as holy cow.
Okay.
The Buffalo Bills did that? In 2002, Eric Moulds had how many targets?
2002. I'm just trying to think
of the year. It was his career high in targets.
I'm trying to think of the other receivers on that roster.
That's Peerless Price is on that roster.
Peerless Price is there.
Bills go 8-8. Yeah, it's, I forgot it's to kind of the team he's talking about there with Travis Henry and Peerless Price. And
It's fun. That was a fun team.
I'm going to guess high here, maybe a little too high. I'll guess 220.
Oh, geez. I don't think everybody's. Has anybody ever had 220? Maybe.
That's why it was.
Yeah,
ridiculously.
Oh, yeah,
high.
Played that. You're supposed to guess low, so I could say
140.
No. Okay, there you go. 180. He had 180 targets.
Yeah, he had 100 catches. I forgot to ask him about that season. Yeah, I mean, 100 catch season.
I was only 40 off. Whatever.
A Bills receiver had 100 catches.
Well, maybe this is the more jarring stat. Drew Bledsoe threw how many passes that year?
Oh my lord. Let's see. Let's go with 40 a game. 400 for like 600 passes.
610.
Wow.
Dang.
610 passes. Fun. These were the Buffalo Bills?
Right. Well, you know, you were here for that. When he was here with Moulds and Peerless, they were putting the ball in the air. It was great.
They were fun.
Yeah.
Bledsoe that year, 24 touchdowns. Not that many when you consider 610 passes.
Yeah.
15 interceptions.
And the weapons that they had, yeah.
And 15 interceptions is actually not that bad when you consider 610 passes.
Yeah, right. Interceptions per attempt. Yeah, right.
How many passes did Josh attempt last year?
Oh, boy. 253. I'm going to go no more than like 400.
Last season, Josh Allen attempted 461.
Oh, okay. A little higher than I thought.
Yeah.
Not a huge number.
150 more attempts. 10 more attempts per game.
Right.
For Bledsoe.
So is Diggs getting 108? What was it? 180 targets?
180 targets.
I assume that's a record here.
It probably is.
I doubt Andre would have had 180 targets.
The reason I was asking Eric about playing in this era as opposed to when he did play, is because if there are two things that jump out about his looking at his stat page. The 180 targets, only 100 catches. Like a catch rate of 55%. In his career, his catch rate was 58%. Those numbers for top receivers are higher now.
Yeah, no, up in the 60s, right?
Yeah, because as completion percentage climbs, it only makes sense that, of course, catch percentage would climb as well.
Yeah.
So, wow, I mean, 180 targets. I'll sign up for that for Diggs right now.
All right, so I'm looking at Andre Reed. They didn't have target stats, apparently weren't kept until, 92 is the first year I see target stats for Andre. His best would have been 143 in the 94 season, so Moulds had almost 40 more than that. Yeah, that's got to be a record. Nobody's had more than 180 targets here then. If Andre didn't have it, I can't think of another receiver who would have that.
Yeah.
I wonder if Diggs
gets
that.
I was trying to find the targets, like the rankings for who had the most targets in a given year, like the all-time target list, but I have not been able to track that down. 180 is still very high.
Yep.
Let's check here. 2018, did they have it? Okay, here we do. Here we go. In 2018, leading the league was Julio Jones with 170.
Wow.
That's how much that Bills team passed.
Yeah.
Because Peerless, I think, had 97 catches.
Well, what did he say, right? They both had 1,300 yards? Close to it?
Yeah. Julio, 170. Devontae Adams, 169. Antonio Brown, 168. As recently as 2018. I guess I could do this past season as well. Yeah, the league leader last year was Michael Thomas, 185.
Wow.
Right? Like, and Moulds was right there with 180 back in 2002.
Yeah. Before all this, before the explosion in passing.
Yeah.
Right. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hang on, I'm waiting just to look at something here, and then I can ask Jeremy a question, but I'm waiting for a picture to come up. Huh. Okay. I'm wondering about this. Okay. Did you see the story about the Dolphins, what they're doing with their stadium?
Yeah, making a drive-in movie theater.
Yeah. What do you put? I mean, I'm trying to see how tough would it be for team. Obviously, you're putting something down on the turf. They're going to have up to 230 cars be able to drive in to Hard Rock Stadium on weekends in the fall, Saturdays, obviously, I guess. And they can show movies. They can show classic games and team history. They're offering it for commencement ceremonies and concerts. Mm-hmm. And that, again, not the parking lots around the stadium. Actually driving your car into the stadium and parking on the floor of the stadium. Mm-hmm. I wonder what kind of a to-do that is, like putting stuff down over the turf. What you put down, how much work it is to put stuff down and allow cars to drive in on the over the field. It's kind of a neat idea. I wonder if the Bills or anybody else would do anything like that.
Would you do it?
Would I? Yeah, it looks like it would be safe. I mean, you're in your car.
I don't mean for safe, like fun. Would it be fun?
Yeah, I think so. A giant, I mean, commencement, obviously. But a concert, like if, I guess, boy, I don't know. I'm trying to think if Billy Joel, they said, hey, you got tickets for Billy Joel in August. It's drive-in, and we're going to do a lottery. Hey, you won. I would go for a movie, I guess. I don't know about a concert. Movie I'm used to watching on a screen with a little speaker anyway.
Right, but is there any draw to do it at a football stadium instead of just the drive-in?
Oh, I'm sure they're just trying to, probably, I assume, make revenue.
I understand what they're trying to do. I'm asking as the customer.
Would I do it? Yeah, I guess I would do it.
Would you be interested?
Yeah, sure. For a drive-in movie? Sure. Drive-in theater, football stadium? Yeah, why not?
Okay.
It's entertainment. Yeah, I would do it. Concert would be different. Concert is just people live on the stage and you enjoying the fresh air and reacting to the show. I think it might be weird to watch a concert in a car. But a movie, I'd be used to it. Yeah, I would do it. Count me in.
All right.
See if anybody else is going to do this. 803-0550 to Jonas. What do you want? Headlines? Yeah, we're in the 8 o'clock hour. Great. Emily Kaplan coming up at 8:30 from ESPN.com. We'll talk about all of the hockey news yesterday. There was some from the Sabres, and there was plenty from the NHL. Jason Bottrell is going to be back as GM of the Buffalo Sabres. That, according to Kim Pegula. Bottrell will have a Zoom call with the local media this morning at 10 o'clock. Brayton's going to be in on it for us, and we'll also actually be carrying the Zoom call, the audio. You'll hear it on the Instigator Show at 10 here on WGR. The NHL announced yesterday that the regular season has concluded. 24 teams will be moving on in the return-to-play format, two hub cities. There will be a qualifying round to get into the playoffs. Eight teams will be eliminated in that play-in round. They announced the draft lottery format. We have details on all this at WGR550.com. Two phases, 15 teams. The Sabres are currently seventh. They could still go up to one. They could drop as low as 10. Yahoo Sports reporting that NFL head coaches might be allowed back in facilities next week. Maybe mini camps mid to late June, but the Players Association says, whoa, slow down. We'd have to approve that. ESPN reporting the NBA likely to resume in late July at Disney World. Major League Baseball players very unhappy with owners and their latest proposal for significant pay cuts. NASCAR races again tonight. The Cup Series, 8 o'clock in Charlotte, and Premier League shareholders have voted to resume contact training in that league.
And one more headline for you. WBEN has coverage of the fire at the Brickyard Brewing Company, Brickyard Pub up in Lewiston. They have tweeted, "This isn't the end of us. We will be back bigger and better than ever," and they thank everyone for the love and support. So throwing our support behind them after you know, a very popular place in the area, and especially up in Lewiston. I mean, obviously a terrible, terrible night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.